As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
All right, congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. We only have one segment because of the Royals. So we have a lot to get into in a very short amount of time. I want to read part of this story to you guys, and then I promise you we will move on. We have spent a lot of time talking about the stadiums, and to be completely honest with you, we do a lot of talking and nothing has changed about it. There'll be some report. That report will get shot down. There'll be a meeting. Nothing happens with the meeting. It's just a lot of action for a lot of inaction. So there is a story today in the Kansas City Star, and the headline reads, "The clock is ticking for the Chiefs and the Royal Stadium plan. Is Missouri doing enough?" Now, I'm going to tell you the answer to this question. The answer is hell no. That is the answer. It's not no, or they could be doing better. That's not the answer to the question. Now, I'm going to read you part of this story, and I would encourage you to go on the Star's website and read the rest of the story for yourself, because it is a comedy piece. Not a comedy piece because of how it's written. It's a comedy piece because of the characters in the story. With less than a month left in this year's legislative session, Missouri lawmakers have largely taken no steps to provide public support for new stadiums for the Chiefs and the Royals. How is this even possible? You have had a year to figure this out. Do you guys not understand the seriousness of what we are talking about? You've already lost one NFL team. You want to make it two? We have to tell you guys the benefit of having an NFL team and a Major League Baseball team in your state? You've taken largely no steps to provide public support. Well, I'm telling you, it ain't all going to be funded privately. It's going to require some public support. You guys, it is your job to put that together. They got less than a month left in this. Just no steps, just... we're just taking our time. We're figuring it out. We're still arguing about things. That's all they do on the Missouri side in relation to this topic. Kansas, they got all their ducks in a row. It's beautiful over there. Everybody's agreeing with everybody. Everybody's slapping five. They think they got this in the bag. They largely think they got this in the bag because of their opponent, because of you. Let me continue on reading this. State lawmakers are divided on the reason for the lack of forward momentum. They can't even agree on why they disagree. Think about that. State lawmakers are divided on the exact reason for the lack of forward momentum. That's how bad it's going. Right now, if I opened up the text line and said, hey, why do you think the Chiefs lost the Super Bowl? We get 17 different answers on why you think they lost. We can't even agree on what the reason was they got beat so bad. That's how Missouri is getting beat. They can't even agree. It then goes on to say this. But the top lawmaker in the Missouri House says he wants to see local officials in Jackson County and Kansas City come up with a plan first before state legislators move forward with measures that would provide public funding for one or more stadiums. It also goes on to read, and this one is the doozy to me. This is from the Missouri House Speaker. Quote, I think more and more it's going to look like Jackson County and Clay County are going to have to split the teams to make the deal work for both teams to stay in Missouri. Well, then both teams ain't staying in Missouri. Both teams aren't staying then if this is the plan that you guys will come up with. Not when the other plan, it sounds better than your plan because you don't have a plan. You don't have a plan. We sat here, Rob, a month ago and we had a Missouri politician and he told us that the Kansas offer was fake, that it was fabricated, that it was trumped up. You guys don't have any plan. So they're fake plan sounds better than your non-existent plan. How are these the people in charge? How are these the people? We can move on from this. I have one final thought. When we die, there are things that will go on our tombstone, right? Things that will go on our tombstone. I'm not talking about like father or husband. I'm talking like things you accomplished, you know? On the tombstone of some of these politicians, it is going to read, you lost the Chiefs. That's going to be the number one bullet point. That's the number one thing you accomplished in life. You lost the Chiefs? How? You had a 50-year head start, a 50-year lead. How did you lose them? Missouri's embarrassing. I don't say that to be confrontational. I don't say that to shock jock. I say that because I don't know how you can hear how the Missouri side is doing and feel good about this, how you can feel good about the fight. There's no world in which the Chiefs are moving to North Kansas City. There's no world that that's happening. So now you're telling me that the best case scenario for Missouri is that the baseball team goes up north and that they want the Chiefs to rebuild a stadium where they are? That's the plan? Well, then the Chiefs are moving to Kansas then. I don't even know why we're arguing about this anymore. Maybe this is the quote that I needed. The Chiefs are moving to Kansas because Missouri's incompetent. This is the Harlem Globetrotters going up against the Washington Generals. That's what you're seeing right now. They're running a clinic around the politicians in the state of Missouri. A clinic. So when you get in your car from Lee's Summit and you got to drive that 40 minutes to go to the game, thank Mayor Quinn Lucas. When you got to drive over there, thank Missouri House Speaker. Thank Frank White. That's who you should thank. Thank all of them. They should take a class picture together for what they've been able to accomplish. And they should put that when you walk into the stadium in Kansas, that should be the first thing you see. This stadium was brought to you by these individuals, and they're taking a class photo. You know that picture they take when your team goes to the Super Bowl? All of them should come together and take that picture. Embarrassing display. I don't have anything else, Rob. I know you're about to have some Kansas laughs and jokes at my expense, but I'm fully prepared to get in my vehicle and drive to 135th and Nall to watch a baseball game, and then we're going to have to go over by Cabela's in order to watch the football team play. I am prepared for that.
I was talking to some people from 98.1 earlier today. Did you know that there was a group of, I don't know if they are legislators. They're a group of people in Jackson County who tried to oust Frank White today. Didn't work. Frank White still very much in charge. And you know what that makes me? Happy as a Kansan. You know, they should re-retire his number once Arrowhead comes across state lines.
No, that's crazy. Can you imagine if they retired Frank White? Can you imagine a world in which they put Frank White in the Chiefs' Ring of Honor? They're going to put his name next to Lynn Dawson.
Right outside the new stadium, there'll be a really nice statue of Lamar Hunt, Patrick Mahomes, Frank White.
Frank White. Oh, my goodness. Someone on the text line says they can't even get FanDuel right. Good point. I can't even argue that. FanDuel works perfectly fine in Kansas, works perfectly fine everywhere else. They can't even figure out DraftKings. We trust them to figure out the Chiefs. This is the only Royals thought I have for today. I just have one thought. I don't care. I don't want to hear it. I know yesterday it was not one of those banner wins for the Royals. The Royals, they really struggled yesterday against the Colorado Rockies. Like, it was a real fight yesterday with the Rockies. It was hard to see which team had three wins when I was watching them yesterday. I do not care. I've put my finger in my ears and I've just la 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 la. I've just made noises while you talk. I'm not listening. I don't care. Just win. I honestly, it does not matter to me the how. I don't care about the process. All I care about is the results. That's all I care about. That's it. I don't care about anything else. Nothing. Oh, well, what about? I don't want to talk about it. They won one game against the Rockies. They need to win one of these next two games. That's it. They need to win one of the next two games. And if they do that, great. Fantastic. Doesn't matter. I don't care how they get there. You cannot lose a series to the Colorado Rockies and tell me you're serious. You cannot do it. Especially coming off the heels of you've been losing nonstop for a week. So figure it out. Figure out a way to win. It'd be great if you won today and then have a chance to sweep them tomorrow in the day game with Reagan's on the mound. That'd be the best thing that happened this season with the Royals. They'll be, what, 12-14 after that happens? You're right there. You're right there. That's all that matters.
If they win today and tomorrow, they're 13-14. So you're home free.
Right there. Someone on the text line asked if they could nominate Frank White for Kansan of the Year. I don't think that's strong enough, actually. Kansan of the Millennium is what he should be. Kansan of the Century. He should be in the Kansas Sports Hall of Fame. Think about great Kansas people. David Booth. I mean, there's a lot of great people on that side of state line. Frank White, doing fantastic work. It's crazy to me how you work for Jackson County, but are doing so much for Wyandotte and Johnson County. I mean, it's amazing. He's a secret agent is what he is. You know,
he's
what?
He's definitely in that position for as long as he wants to be. Jackson County legend,
get rid of him.
County executive for life. That's it's like a Supreme Court justice. He gets to keep that until he resigns or passes away, right?
Yeah. I'm starting to think that it was all just telling you. He got voted in to ruin your property taxes and move the teams across state line. That man is you can't be worse at your job than Frank White is. That's next level how bad that he's been. Really bad. You know, I don't want to talk about that anymore. We only have 10 minutes left in the show. Let's talk about positive things, Rob. Hit the button.
Your workday is over.
Oh, yeah.
You're headed home, and now you're stuck in traffic. Time to get caught up on the biggest stories in Kansas City and around the country with CDOT and Rob. It's time for the hits. Number one.
CDOT, as always, hits are brought to you by Baker University. Your graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu.
All right, so we are winding down our draft preparation and getting you ready for round one of the NFL draft. I feel good about the Chiefs going into this year's draft class. I really do. I think you have to feel good if you are a Chiefs fan. Is I don't really think there are many things that you say the Chiefs have to come away with in this draft class. In fact, I only feel like there's one thing. The only thing on my list that I think the Chiefs have to come out of with this year's draft class is a running back. If this draft class is, in fact, generational, the way that it was described on this show 2 days ago,
in terms of year on year, which class would look is going to look the most special historically, you know, 5 years from now, I think it's going to be running back. I just think there's so much talent at it. There's other good classes, but running back to me looks like once in a decade sort of class.
If you were telling me that this is a once in a decade like class, you owe it to your quarterback to get one of them and insert them in this offense. Maybe we disagree on who that player should be, but ultimately, I think we, as people that follow the team, cover the team, cheer for the team, etc., all want the same thing. Get one of them. I have maintained this position since day one of the offseason. Get younger and more explosive at skill positions. A major problem for the Chiefs offense last year, they had no explosiveness in the run game and couldn't consistently run the football. Now, you might think that it's because of the offensive line. I think a lot of that is because of the parts and weapons that they had in the run game. You don't get explosive run plays from Kareem Hunt. That's not what he was. And you certainly don't get explosive run plays from a running back that is coming off a broken fibula the way that you had last year. So the Chiefs have an opportunity to reset. You get Kareem Hunt, and now you're using him in the correct role as a third down back. You have Isaiah Pacheco, who now has a full offseason to recover, heading into a contract year. And you draft one of these running backs, and you hope that you got the right one. The Chiefs owe it to themselves to take a running back. That is at the top of my wish list, and we are talking about what I want the Chiefs to do. Now, I don't want them to draft one in round one. I think you can find value at 63 or 66. But for the Chiefs to have three picks in the top 70, I want one of those picks to be a running back. I think you can get a really, really good one. They haven't put him on a 1,000-yard running back since Kareem Hunt in 2018. Think about all the success that the Chiefs have had. They haven't put him around one of the top 15 running backs in the National Football League. One of the ways you can take pressure off of him is to not put him in a position to get hit and turning around and handing the ball off. Usually works when you do that. So that is what I want them to do. I would then say it'd be nice for the Chiefs to get an offensive tackle in this year's draft class. Whether you think he can play left or right tackle, I honestly don't care which one, but it would be great if the Chiefs, whether it's at 31, whether it's at 66, took another swing on a tackle and you put yourself in a great spot because it is not an immediate day one need. I don't care where they draft their tackle. He is not playing this year. You spent the money on Jalen Moore, who makes $20 million this year, guaranteed. And you also have Juwan Taylor, who has the third biggest cap hit on the team. You're locked in on left and right tackle for this upcoming season. So maybe you draft the player and you play him at guard, and then next year you play him at tackle. Maybe that's the plan. But they are in a position where they can think for the future with a draft pick. Now, maybe you want to go for a more immediate day one need. Maybe you want to put somebody alongside Chris Jones. Maybe you want to play somebody on the outside and play them at defensive end. Those would be great things to pick up. Maybe you feel like you need another corner where you've got Christian Fulton, you've got Trent McDuffie, you've got Jalen Watson, you've got a couple of other players, and you want to throw another young player into the mix. I really think because of the Chiefs' offseason and the way that they handle free agency, I think they go into this draft with just a lot of possibilities of what they can do. And for the most part, I think the board is really wide open for them to take the best player available. And at least when it comes to the second and early third round, I think we are going to look at the board and think that the best player available is a running back. And the Chiefs just so happen to need running back this offseason.
We actually agree on running back. We also agree don't take it at 31 or my head will explode. But that's I'm sure Brett Veach has learned from the errors of his past. And I don't think he's doing that again tomorrow night. So that's lots of good news there. I actually think the more we talk about this draft, I come to the following conclusion. The Chiefs are in a perfect spot because this draft does not have stars. That's what Daniel Jeremiah keeps saying. It's a starter, not star draft. Well, you know what the Chiefs really don't need? They don't need stars. They just need starters. They might need starters in 25. They might need starters in 26, but they just need starters. So I think they are in a near no-lose situation. If they take a running back this weekend in the third or fourth round, let's say they took DJ Gittens in the fourth round. Let's use a local guy as the example. And he mostly redshirted in 2025. I'd be fine with that pick because he's a good player. He can play in 2026. If they take pick a tackle, Joshua Simmons, coming off the PCL injury, and they said, hey, ease your way back in. We got Jalen Moore. We'll figure out if it's you or Jalen in 2026 at left tackle, and the other one of you kicks out to the right tackle with Juwan Taylor, I'd be cool with that pick. If they took a wide receiver, if they took Luther Burden, we'll just stay local. And they said, hey, we don't really have a long-term plan for Hollywood Brown on the team, but Luther Burden can eventually fill that role. He'll get some usage in 2025, but we're really aiming toward 2026 to him be a full-time starter. That'd be good, too. The Chiefs, because of the lack of high-end talent in this draft and what they already have in their roster, they're in a pretty good spot. There's only a few things they would do this weekend where I'd be like, what is happening? Outside of that, I feel like it's a nice, relaxing draft for the Chiefs.
I agree. I think it's a nice, relaxing draft, too. I think that's where at least a lot of the buzz for the Chiefs is kind of gone this year. I think the Chiefs did a really good job in free agency patching up the holes, and they've patched those holes up with players that you know. Like, I think for the most part, outside of running back, because I think there's like a clear need, I think the Chiefs are pretty solid everywhere else. Going to get Jalen Moore, that was the best available option. There was no scenario in which the Chiefs in this year's draft class were drafting a left tackle and having him start this season. You tried that last year with Kingsley, and I'm going to guess that the tackle prospect that you could potentially pick up might be worse than Kingsley Suamataia. There was no chance you were doing that. At wide receiver, you essentially bring back the room that you had from last August, and we all felt pretty good about that wide receiver room if guys could stay healthy, knock on wood. You then look at the secondary. You look at the – this team is pretty strong on a lot of different places on the board. So now – the goal is simple. Take good players, take starters. That's it. Take good players, take starters. Like, I don't even think they need to go D-line. It'd be great if they went D-line. If they got a defensive tackle, I'm not against it. If they got a rush edge, not against it this year. I don't think they need to come away with one, though. I think they've really put themselves in a good spot where they can let the board play how it may. And they can take their chances, take their swings, be conservative in spots. I think the Chiefs are in a really advantageous place this NFL draft cycle. I really feel like they are.
Like I said, there's only a handful of things the Chiefs could do Thursday, Friday, where I would be puzzled and I'd be wondering what's going on over there. What are we doing? But generally speaking, like outside of, you know, middle linebacker and a first round running back, and I guess a safety. I feel like they can take really anyone, and most Chiefs fans are going to walk away with, oh, it's going to work either in 2025 or 2026. They're in a good spot.
Someone on the text line says, name two or three wide receivers or running backs so you would take at 31 if they fall to us. I think there's only three players that I would take in that scenario: Luther Burden, Emeka Egbuka, or Travion Henderson. Those are the only three players that, to me, are worthy of taking a late first-round pick on if they're on the board. I think one of the kind of things to keep up with in the draft is if the Chiefs have a chance to take the fifth or sixth pass rusher and Luther Burden is on the board, what do they do? Like, I think that's a very intriguing storyline heading into tomorrow. We'll have more time to go through this. Tomorrow is actually going to be draft day, so certainly a lot to break down. We're also going to be tomorrow at the Landing in Liberty if you want to stop by and watch the draft with us. I'll catch you guys tomorrow after the Royals day game. Take care of yourself. It's the draft.